The Sasabe Border Patrol, basically their area covers between two mountain ranges, and it's about 35, 40 miles. In that distance, there are 10 holes, as they call them. So we'll go through exactly what that is. Oop, wrong way. We're going. I'll keep my hand on this thing. I won't mess up again. So here's the border wall again, and this is looking toward the east. Now, in the background, you'll see a mountain. Basically, if you look closely, you can see that the dirt work has already been performed to basically run the border wall up over that ridge. That's about 15, 20 miles up there. In that area, there's five holes, and those are really where we were at and what we focused on. In going through. This is the largest of the holes. What exactly is a hole? Well, a hole is basically where the border fence was not installed. This is a dry wash. This is from the U.S. side looking to the Mexican side, and this is over on the Mexican side. It's about 50, 60 yards across. During the flooding season, basically, it gets really bad, so they're going to put in a different type of wall at these points that would actually lift up, so you wouldn't end up with a bunch of tree branches and things of that coming through. Anyway, so that's one of the openings. Going along, and one more click should fire this thing off. You want to click it there on the computer? There we go.
All right, so we are at hole number four, and these are all young people from Guatemala. We've got a total of 26. This was at about midnight when they crossed. We've seen the lights for quite a while before the crossing. We've been able to give them blankets for the most part across the board, backpacks, Bibles in the backpacks, and right now we're just waiting for the Border Patrol to show up. So I'll update in a little bit.
All right, so what was happening? On the Mexican side, what would happen is they'd had an old open cattle trailer and F-350, mid-90s. And you could see them coming in the daytime, you've seen this truck and the trailer parked. But at night, you'd see it coming in, and then they drop these kids off. And all were kids, like maybe 18 or so. We did have one group with a few adults, but mostly all kids. And the kicker is one, they didn't know each other. There were not like brothers and sisters. These people did not know each other. We had a 14-year-old boy carrying a baby that he had no clue who the baby was, all right? So that's one thing. Number two, we're not talking people from Mexico. Extremely rare to see one person from Mexico. Cuba, Guatemala, Honduras. Guatemala was the by far the largest number of people, but Cuba had a lot of people, and the one thing about the Cubans was they spoke quite good English, so you could get a lot of information from them. Carol will go into a little bit more on that detail as far as coming across and the costs and everything else. Why go to Arizona from Cuba? Well, there's reasons for it. When they came, they would have a phone number, and when they got to the Border Patrol would pick them up, they'd give them the phone number, they'd call the phone number, and they'd be basically given over to whoever answered the phone. During the time we were there, the week we were there, one of the things we were doing is gathering data, gathering information. Can I see your phone number? Get your name, all of this stuff. Well, you start tracking these phone numbers, and after a month or so, you start seeing a phone number pop 60, 70 times. We're not talking a relative. We're talking some type of human trafficking that's going on. All right, let's go on to the next one.
In the previous video, I said that these kids all crossed unaccompanied by any type of adult through hole four. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is hole four. There is no draw here, there is no water issues, so forth and so on. We've got the border wall in all its glory, 30 feet tall, with about a 5-foot gap for no apparent reason. That's hole four that they just crossed through. Why was this left open?
All right, there's hole four during the daylight time. The panels on the wall are 6 feet. And you can see at the top, you can see one panel. Well, basically one panel was never installed, all right? The materials were there for a while, I guess. Carol had some photos of it, but basically it was removed. It was in an open area on the U.S. side, but it was all gone. So where did all the material go that was supposed to be used for completing the wall? This area here was hands down the worst for any of the kids to have to traverse. That hole three, that very wide wash, basically the truck would drop them about a half mile from the U.S. border, and they just basically walk down a sand wash, and that would be it. They'd be there. This, from where they were dropped, was about a 3.5-hour trek. So you could see their cell phone lights in the distance as they were coming middle of the night up to this spot. You may have noticed in that last video, they're pulling basically stickers off them from the cactus and everything else from making that trek. So this one was really a hard walk for the people to get across. At night, when we were there in March, you're talking mid-20s for temperature. And if you notice, they're wearing sweatshirts, they're wearing windbreakers, but they certainly were not. Well, I had my winter coat on plus other gear to keep warm, but they weren't warm at all. So what we would do is we'd have a fire for them, get that information, wait for the Border Patrol to come. But understand this, the cartels run the Mexican side hands down, and to a large degree they run the U.S. side. And under all circumstances, when the kids came across, that was just cover. That was the distraction. That was our focus, but that was the true distraction. During the times that those kids were running across, that's when the drugs would be coming across at a different spot. Or that's when the people would be coming across that they didn't want anyone to know about, whether it be terrorists, whatever. But the kids were always a distraction. One night we had a total of 66 kids come across. And in the one group, 26, the oldest one was 14, like I mentioned. All right.
Boys, right here is a phone number. In case you need help, you memorize this phone number. Remember the phone number, okay? If you need help, you call this phone number. Okay? I'm gonna get some more, okay?
Okay, so here's around the fire, basically waiting for the Border Patrol. What the normal process was is sometimes you'd only have 10, 15 minutes for the Border Patrol. Other times we'd have almost an hour and a half or so waiting, depending on how busy they were along the entire wall. One thing that I'd like to impart to you that really sort of blew me away, but it was really cool, is handing them the Bibles. They knew exactly the Bible, they cherished the Bibles, they were holding on to them. In the Bibles, we had phone numbers for them to contact for personnel in case there was issues, in case they felt scared, whatever the situation they were ending up in. In addition to that, we would pray with them, and they were all into prayer. For the most part, Guatemalans, Cubans, every one of them, very much into prayer, knew exactly what was going on and was focusing on it. So that was really heartening in my opinion. All right, so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Carol.
May the force be with you.
Pat covered almost everything. On the cost, what we found from a woman that we spoke with from Cuba said, when I asked, why would you come all the way to Arizona from Cuba? That's the longest possible place to come to. The cost to cross the border in Texas is $6,500. In Arizona, the cost is $4,100. So but that doesn't include they pay that money when they leave, but that doesn't include the changes that happen along the way. They think they're getting a straight ride to the border. And of the woman that I spoke with from Cuba said, we've lost everything because they had, I said, how did you get here? A plane ride, a bus ride, a cab, walking, another plane ride. Like, this is a long journey with a lot of unexpected expenses, and I truly don't believe that these people that are coming understand that they're breaking our laws. I think they're encouraged. They know that they're just going to be welcomed. It's really quite sad what's happening. Between the church and our Patriots group, you all sent $1,200 worth of motion sensor lights, which were critical, Bibles, which were a blessing. The blankets, you saw how many blankets we used every night. Baby bags, snacks, water, hats, gloves. Thank you so much. These things bless those kids in ways that I don't even know. I don't know where these kids go once Border Patrol picks them up. I have suspicions. In April of 2021, Pat and I drove to Texas to look at a child detention facility. And I didn't want to go to one that was being on the news. I didn't want one that they were telling us about. I wanted one that they weren't telling us about. So we went to one called the Studios at Carrizo Springs. Doesn't that sound lovely? It's like a resort or something. And the entrance to it looked like it was a resort. It was hard to find. You would never have just stumbled across this place. I asked around town for where are they keeping the kids, and everyone would just shut down and, what kids? What, we're not telling you anything. So I went to the sheriff's department. Pat says, let's go to the sheriff's department. And I asked them, and for whatever reason, the sheriff that I asked gave me step by step by step by step by step directions. I could tell that he was disgusted with the situation. He was upset by the situation. And we got there, and it was down a long, I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere. And it was 8 to 10 foot high chain link fence, all covered from the inside so you couldn't see through them. But what you could see were there was just huge tent after tent after tent after tent after tent. And I got out of the RV and I walked over and I asked, I need to see the kids. And they said, you'll need an appointment for that. So I said, okay, how do I get an appointment? Well, you're not getting an appointment. It got to the point I cried. I was upset. I wanted to know, how many kids are in here? What are they being fed? Who's taking care of them? Where are they sleeping? Basic humanitarian questions. And I got nothing. At the end of maybe 5 to 10 minutes of arguing and pleading and crying, I was told, if you're not out of here in 5 minutes, we'll arrest you and tow your van or tow the RV. They do not want us to know what they're doing with these kids. So they're going to those child detention facilities, and what happens to them from there, I don't know. The week after we left, a 14-year-old girl came through and by herself, and they got her in for her contact information and everything before Border Patrol came. And when they contacted the sponsor, who in this case was her father, they said that he hadn't heard from her, that she had not called him, Border Patrol had not called him, but the cartel had contacted him and said that to get his daughter back, it was going to cost him an additional $1,500. So these are some of the things that are happening. It's really quite sad. It's disturbing. It's depressing. The good news is that God's got a plan, and it's more glorious than anything I could think of, but it is upsetting.
Basically, quick question or whatever, next steps. Well, number one, the border wall needs to be completed, 100%. Sending the strongest message possible that you have to go the right route, the legal route, to get to the U.S. Number two, any federal election going forward, that needs to be one of the questions asked. Where do they stand on this? What are their thoughts? Where do they stand as far as border security? With that, let's open it up. Is there any questions at all from anyone? Yes, sir. I would say that's true. The ones that we were dealing with were definitely younger kids and that, so it wasn't as critical for them. But that being said, you could tell they were coached ahead of time as to not give out information about themselves. The Cubans were by far the best. They would basically open up. Of course, you could talk with them a lot more. My Spanish is uno cerveza, por favor, and donde está el baño, so. But yeah, you could tell that they'd been coached not to answer a few of the questions. Anything else? Yes?
Two questions.
Yes, sir.
Did the Border Patrol, how was the reaction to having you folks there, and did you ask them anything about the wall?
Excellent question. As far as the Border Patrol, basically it ran the gambit. There were certain ones that you could tell they did not want us there at all. They despised us being there. And there were other ones that basically would say, take some time, pray with these kids. Whenever you're done, let us know and we'll step in and do our process. So that. As far as about the wall, we spoke with one Border Patrol, and be honest with you, they didn't want to give out any information. And I don't think they were trying to be cagey. I think they were more in fear of their jobs. And it looked like they weren't getting any support. They were definitely overworked. So that's where that went. Yes, sir. We went down as a couple, happy wife, happy life. So she said, let's go. I did. As far as safety, yeah, we had more motion lights pointing behind us from the coyotes and the drug runners that were coming back across over back to Mexico. And we were both armed all the time during the ops that we had. But from the kids, from the people coming across, not at all. Yes, sir.
I don't really understand the purpose of building a border wall with multiple gaps in it.
Amen. Amen.
Neither do I.
Very purposeful.
Very, yeah. Carol hit it right on the head. It needs to be fixed. Yes, sir.
We went down after I had spoken and communicated with a group called Border Wars. And though they have been trying and trying and trying to get people to come and close the wall, one of their biggest, they really, really were trying to get the truckers to go down and block the wall, and that would have been wonderful. It would have been, it would have had a huge impact. I don't know that I agree with everything they were doing, but they are doing good work, and I don't know if I would align myself with them again, but what they're doing is very good work. I think that had the truckers come and closed the entire wall, though, it could have started a lot of trouble because there's a definite partnership between the Mexican cartel and the American government.
I was just wondering if while you were there and you were seeing young people, if you saw any evidence of them being used as mules?
I don't know. I don't, we didn't see... Right. Oh, absolutely. There were mules for human trafficking you're talking
right.
about.
Well,
I would say yes.
Not for human trafficking, but for drugs. I heard
some really bad horror stories about things that they have done with children,
especially babies, to get drugs over the border with no one suspecting.
So. I think the drugs were coming in. It's my impression that the drugs were coming across at other places while we were accepting the kids and praying with them. And the reason for that is that we found carpet shoes, and I forgot to bring one to show you what that is. It's, they make these shoes that the bottom of them are carpet, and they tie them over their shoes so they can't, so you can't see their foot treads or whatever. But on that topic, it's, I don't think that the kids were bringing across drugs. I think those were coming across separate. But it's important to remember that the industry for child trafficking is, I don't know the statistics at this point, but you can sell a drug once. You can sell a child over and over and over. And now you gotta take it.
All right. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, it was, I got to be honest with you, it was the strangest thing. First of all, there was a lot of personnel. We're not talking like four or five agents. We're talking probably they had 60, 100. We would call, they would come to pick up the kids. But for the most part, there was no activity on the border road, that basically next to the wall, from the Border Patrol. All of their efforts were focused back 15, 20 miles on the couple roads that were coming into this area. And that's where they'd focus their thing. When you come across the border, you're basically, it's national forest and state and wildlife, so it was just these little roads. The drug runners would come across, they'd basically put the drugs at a GPS location, be picked up later, and then go out. So I don't know if they were stationing their Border Patrol agents back that far to try to pick up that or what, but there was really no presence, unless you called for it, at the actual wall at all.
Did you get any more information about that?
I got no information, at least, and I'll give it, pass it over to Carol, but the Yuma County Sheriff, the only thing I know about him is now they're actually going against the mules from the election, and that was just posted, but other than that, no.
The sheriff has ultimate jurisdiction in his county, and I would say that the sheriff has to be complicit, has to be, because this has been going on forever. And that... That's a good point. That's... There were three, and I'm not sure what uniform they were. It was their security, and I'm not sure whether they were federal security, state security, or local security. I'm not sure. But, yeah. And three of them came, and I pleaded and begged and pleaded and begged, and then three more came, and after about 2 minutes with them, that's when they said, "You are going to be arrested."
Did you hear any kids, or did you see any?
As far, first of all, security. Every one of them, we're talking fully decked out. Nice Molly, wish I had it. It was not U.S. Army or military, but it was great. Every one of them had M4s and sidearms. But as far as the kids, no, we did not physically see any kids in the facility. But during that time that Carol was talking with these guys, there were vans rolling in, Ford Transit vans, total of six of them. 12 to 15 kids per van. Basically, they'd run in, and as we were leaving, they were running back out. So it was like a drop them off and go for another load. So that's what we've seen there. Yes, sir. None that we talked about, none that we actually heard. I mean, the only thing I really came up with is getting that wall completely finished. But nothing else, really. Did you have anything? I mean, you're... Yes.
We pretty much in April of 2021, that was my week of vacation. The week that we spent there this year was my vacation. I haven't heard a next step. I haven't heard the call to go yet. But if I do, I will definitely let everyone know. The big van or the big bus that was there, we called him Boatman Bob. He came down with us to the wall one day so we could show him what it was. But he basically sat in guarded camp, and on feeling threatened, the moment I went down there, I decided that God would leave us here not 1 minute longer nor 1 minute shorter than he intended, so I didn't even consider threat.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, guys. And I'm sure you could ask questions. We could go on all afternoon about that, but... But I have a birthday to announce today. Our youngest son, Matthew, it's his birthday today, so let's sing happy birthday to Matthew. Oh, Ellie's birthday today too?
Tomorrow.
Okay. All right, let's sing happy birthday. All right, I'm just going to wind it up with some announcements. First of all, have your bulletin handy this week, coming up. But first of all, we have a short business meeting immediately following this morning's service. So we'll dismiss, and then, because I have to have you sign the roster if you're a member. So we'll just take a few minutes to do that. Anybody is welcome to stay. We are just going to get permission or not from the membership on being able to spend money to expand our parking lot. So we have it in our bylaws that we cannot spend more than $15,000 without the church's approval. So that's what that meeting is for. Then looking here to the caregiver support group, meeting tomorrow at 6:30 in the fireside room. And then Wednesday is the 50s plus get together. Yay for all you. If you are 50 or your spouse is 50, you qualify. We even had somebody, I think, is probably in his 30s here a couple of months ago. So if you want to come, you can join us. But that is starting at noon. We bring a dish to pass. We're just going to do a spring theme. And then Wednesday night, the adults will continue their Daniel study. We start chapter 2. Read the first 30 verses if you want to be prepared for that ahead of time. It's one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, and you need to understand the prophecy behind Daniel 2 to really understand the rest of prophecy. It's that key. It's the key that opens it up. Although we won't really get much into the prophecy this week, we're setting the stage for that. There's also youth group in Awana. There's a free event. Dr. Duke Pesta, director of Freedom Project Academy, will be giving a talk on critical race theory, what it is and how to fight it. That is this Thursday, May 19th at 6:30 at Coyotes. There will be a question and answer time to follow. There's a water baptism service scheduled for June 5th. And I'm hoping to talk a little bit more about that, but if you are sure at this time you would like to get baptized, there is a sign-up sheet in the back on the bulletin board. If you would sign that, That would be great. I want to make sure I get a hold of everybody that is interested. In your bulletin, there is a disaster group sign-up sheet. And this is just kind of thinking about the possibilities that are before us. I certainly don't want to scare anybody about what could happen. We never know what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell some stories this Wednesday night about God, how God has protected people and nations and things like that. I want to build your faith as well. But we do face uncertain times, and we are losing our sovereignty in our nation. And there's all kinds of predictions about things that could happen with food shortages and stuff. And again, I'm not trying to scare you, but I would like to encourage you to be prepared as much as possible. And and I want the church to be prepared and to be able to help people that are in need. And so that's the reason for this. Sign up, check those areas where you have skills in, if you'd be willing to share those skills, and if anything else you can think of. And even if you don't have any skills, would you please fill it out and give us your name and address so that we can have a record of where you live so that in difficult times we can still be able to shepherd each other. That was important for us to keep that connection. So if you would sign that up anyway, we won't share your address with anybody, but fill that out. If you need two sheets, that's fine. There are some extras on the table out here. There's also a box in there when you filled that out, if you would place that in those boxes. So we'll be sharing some more things along those lines and with things coming up. And Jen has an announcement for... Yes. Coyotes is on 29. Somebody can help me out. I know I've gone past it. It's before Menominee. West of Menominee. And I really hope that you you can join us for these Daniel studies. If you can't make it here in person, they are online. One of the things I shared last week at the end of that study was how you live in Babylon, how you live in an increasingly pagan culture. And it's important for us to know how to live in these times. So I encourage you to do that. Just watch at 6:30. The last couple are online. And yes, Amy? For our farmers? Okay.
So we really need to lift them up in prayer because we are trying to eat. And with so much catastrophic talk, it's very overwhelming to those that are already weary. Please lift up our prayer.
We can do that as we dismiss. Yep.
After that, my makeup's probably smeared all over my face. So we have Bible school coming up at the end of June, June 27th through July 1st. We will have Zoomerang, the Sanctity of Life Bible School for kids 4 to 12. I need helpers. I have 3 signed up right now, and I have 1 child signed up. So please invite all your little people. There's sign-up sheets in the back for volunteers and for children. I need teachers. I need snack people. I need craft people. I need somebody for games. I need helpers with the decor and backdrops and things like that. I even could use people that are willing the week before to cut out shapes for me from felt or whatever for crafts. There are a few things. Yes. That would be a great idea. And I did forget to say it's from 6 to 8:15 p.m. So it will be an evening, but if you are willing to pick up kids, please let me know. And I'll set up a sheet back there for that too, because that's really important. We had 800 people plus sign up when they came for the Easter egg hunt. Let's get half of those kids here for Bible school. They need it. They really do. Some other things that we could use, by the way, there was supposed to be a 9-year-old here doing a skit with me today. His cousins are more important than you are. Sorry about that. some other things that we could use, river rocks, roughly the size of a child's palm would be great. I'm shooting for 200 of each of these things that I'm telling you. Metallic Sharpies, not quite 200 of those, but we do need metallic Sharpies. Pom-poms, little Dixie cups, pipe cleaners, popsicle sticks, cardstock, things like that. So if you're willing to help in any way, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a teacher, but there's a lot of ways that we can put you to work. So I promise to not be too tough on you, but we could use a lot of help. So thank you. I'm sorry.
I have things on the back table, and I did order invites this week, so I will have those. I will have the invites here next week. And Tuesday night is the Patriot group here. Saddle will be here. We have three state candidates coming, Eric Tony, Orlando Owens, and I can't remember. What was that? Yeah, treasurer candidate. So I can't remember all their names. We're also going to be talking about some of the disaster relief. We'll do our breakout sessions, similar to what's in your bulletin. So we'll be working on some of that too. And dinner is at 5. So we do offer a dinner for a $5 donation if you can. Walking tacos. So if you're working and you don't have, you know, you don't want to take the time to try to get supper in before you come, please come and join us for supper and just getting to fellowship and stuff together too before that. And then we do prayer and worship time in between. So hope to see you all here. Meeting starts at 6:30.
All right, make sure you sign up to help there. We always have enough people, but it's always, you always worry about that. But so let's stand. We'll dismiss. We'll pray for the farmers. And I think next week we're going to show a video on a ministry that I think you're going to really appreciate. We were talking about these things at the southern border with these children coming across, and there's an incredible story about a girl from India who was in the lowest caste there was, not even considered a person. And she's got an incredible testimony, and there is such an anointing on that young girl. She says she's going to be prime minister someday. I wouldn't doubt it. You get a chance to meet her next week through video. So, yes, yeah, somebody, Betty Jo.
For speaking of farmers, Frank Zinkango has now been, he has a caring for his farm, and he's working back. He got into a truck.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, with humble hearts. We are so dependent upon you in every way possible. And we recognize, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible. And we look at situations in our world today that tear our hearts. We look at even things that are nearby, and we see the pain and the suffering, and we know that it touches us, but how much more does it touch your heart? And Lord, you know the struggle that the farmers are facing. Lord, you know the great economic hardships in farming nowadays. And Lord, all the work that goes before it, and there's no guarantee, and farmers are dependent upon you, and their faith and their trust is that you, Lord, would cause the weather to be right and that everything would go well, that their crops could grow. I pray a blessing, Lord, that their harvest would be multiplied this year. Lord, I pray for those that are growing weary, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, that you would just watch over them and take care of them. We bind Satan in the name and through the blood of Jesus over our farmers, over our farmland this year. Lord, that even for people that are planting gardens, that there would be such a great harvest, the produce would be multiplied this year. We pray for this Frank, Lord, who has had this accident and the broken back. Lord, bring healing to him, complete healing, complete restoration. May he know that you have touched him. And Lord, we pray for any needs here in this congregation this morning, once again, as we know that there are always needs. But Lord, we are thankful that you know what we have need of even before we ask. And Lord, I know that you are working in these situations, bringing about your will so that you can be glorified. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. So quick exchange here, 5 minutes or so, hopefully, and we can get started on the business meeting. If you want to just sit tight, that's quick. That's fine, too. I just need to send out around a roster.